unlock this door with the key of imagination. Beyond it is another dimension. A dimension of sound. A dimension of sight. A dimension of mind. You're moving into a land of both shadow and substance, of things and ideas. You've just crossed over into the Twilight Zone.
Ladies and gentlemen, live from the multi-million dollar interstellar media broadcast communication studios of TalkZone.com, it's Lawyers Who Needs Them, featuring Randall Simonetti and Jim Hartman. Randall and Jim are ready to take your toll-free calls from anywhere in North America at 1-888-463-6748 and world listeners at 011-847-470-0937 from anywhere around the globe. And now, here's Jim and Randall.
Well, thank you. Thank you. Thank you very much. What a lively crowd we have today. Live audience here in the studio. Thank you for joining us here on Lawyers Who Need Them. It's the, the 5th of January, and we are live this afternoon. So if you have a question, just fire away. We'll give you directions in just a moment. But I'm Randall Simonetti.
I'm Jim Hartman.
And we appreciate you joining us. And we're going to skip some of the formal introductions that we've done for the last 16 weeks.
Yeah, if you want to find out about them, go to the website.
Go to the website. You can learn everything you want to know.
Right.
But Jim and I, every week, attempt to take the mystery and complexity out of our legal system.
And inject some common sense and maybe a sense of humor back in.
Now, if you have a sense of humor and you have a question about the law or something related, we're happy to take your call. You can reach us by calling toll-free anywhere in North America simply by dialing 1-888-463-6748. That's 1-888-463-6748. Now, if you happen to be, okay,
where?
In Constantinople.
That was Istanbul.
Right. It's Istanbul,
Istanbul
today,
Constantinople,
right?
Istanbul now. Istanbul was Constantinople.
Where does that come from? What? That was a movie.
I don't know whether it comes from a movie, but the song was many, many years ago.
Oh, okay. I think that's from a movie, and I can't remember
who
was
there. I don't remember
there.
The words.
But anyway, if you're in Istanbul, right, and you have a question for us, like, what can we do about the dust, dial 011-847-470-0937. Our attack dog, Duke, is fighting in the background. If you hear the barking, it's probably an unruly listener being escorted out.
You're right.
Okay, once again, if you are in Istanbul or anywhere outside of North America, you simply dial toll-free 011-847-470-0937. And if you are in North America, once again, 1-888-463-6748. We'd be happy to take your call at any time. Talk to our wonderful engineer, Rollicking Randy Meyer. He is the best in the business, ladies and gentlemen. And he will take care of your call and get that message to us, and then we will talk to you live. Now, if you're shy, like my partner, you simply can send a question by clicking on the question icon on the TalkZone website and send that question in. We'll try to answer it right now. If not, if you're really shy, go to the official lawyerswhoneedsthem.com website, lawyerswhoneedsthem.com, or lawyerswhoneedsm.com. They're both. They'll get you to the same place. And leave your question, and we'll try to answer that next week. So there you have all the instructions you need to know to be able to operate on this program. Without any further ado.
Well, that was so much ado. It's been nice being with you, folks. Yes. Tune in again.
We'll see you next week. All right. Here we go. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
All right. You got your sneakers on?
I got them.
Good. So without any further ado, let's kick off this week's edition of Lawyers Who Needs Them. Well, some decisions have been made in the lovely, lovely windy city of Chicago, and Mr. Roland Burris has been selected to be the replacement for Senator Obama. However, the Senate, the governor appoints him, and the Senate must seat him. Explain
that. United States Senate must.
That's right.
And each, I'll explain that later. But in the meantime, there are threats that the Senate won't seat him, and Harry Reid, the majority.
The smiling Harry Reid.
Right. Well, he decided that he wasn't going to seat him, but I think he's backing off because there are some legal questions here.
Of course.
And otherwise it wouldn't be a thing on our program.
That's right.
And there are serious constitutional issues, but they're very interesting. Here, first of all, Burris, I got to tell you something, he's no Rhodes Scholar. Between Blagojevich and Roland Burris,
right,
between the two of them,
they're missing one of the three stooges.
They couldn't spell Constitution. But right. At any rate, I've heard, you know, I mean,
anecdotally,
he's kind of an empty suit, but he puts the Senate in a very Blagojevich. It puts the Senate in a very peculiar position because he puts them in a position where they would have to reject the only black senator in the Senate and who replaces a black senator,
right.
Because that was the seat held by the president-elect Barack Obama.
Okay.
Now, originally, you may recall, maybe you don't recall, I recall because I was there, but senators were elected not by popular vote. The original Section 3, the Senate of the United States were composed of two senators from each state chosen by the legislature thereof for 6 years. And each senator shall have one vote. So,
somehow that changed.
In around 19, I forgot when it was, but they did change it to, on the 17th Amendment. Which is an amendment that immediately preceded prohibition and immediately succeeded income tax. So what can I tell you?
That's a heck of a place to be between.
Right. So what it says there is the Senate of the United States shall be composed of two senators from each state elected by the people thereof.
Okay.
For 6 years in each Senate shall have one vote. Election will be pop.
Right.
But then it says when vacant, then it's the article I'm crazy. Article 1, which was the part that was not amended, Section 5 says each house shall be the judge of the elections, returns, and qualifications of its own members.
Right.
And a majority of each subconstitutional quorum, so forth. Now, that has not been changed, and the 17th Amendment adds to what I told you about it becoming a popular election, also adds in Section 2, when vacancies happen in the representation of any state in the Senate, the executive authority of such state shall issue writs of election to fill such vacancies, provided that the legislature of any state may empower the executive thereof to make temporary appointments until the people fill the vacancies by election as the legislature may direct. Now, what we have here is this.
Please explain it.
I'm going to try to.
All right.
Because I want to get everybody thoroughly confused.
You have that
on. What
we
have is a situation in which one part of the Constitution says that they can judge for themselves who should be seated and everything, each house, in this mm-hmm. case the Senate. And we have another part of the Constitution that says, hold on, the governor shall do this, that, and the other thing. Now, the senator in the original part says, no person shall be a senator who shall not have attained the age of 30 years and been 9 years a citizen of the United States, and who shall not, when elected, be an inhabitant of that state for which he shall be chosen. Okay, now,
all right.
You have to be 30 years old, been a citizen 9 years, and live in the state when you're elected.
So intelligence.
Intelligence is not a qualification.
Right.
Never was.
It's
You have 435 members of the House and 100 members of the Senate, none of which they only have an I. They don't have an IQ.
Oh, okay.
They only got the Q, rather. The intelligence is not there. They got the quotient. We don't know what it is.
Okay.
But the fact is that what can you do? How can they not seat this fellow? And then the courts have held in these situations that when they don't want to seat somebody, they have to be somewhat objective in their reasoning. And it has to be that they refuse to seat someone because he doesn't comply with the age or the years of citizenship or that he's a resident in the state.
Yeah, but those are pretty simple. You have those, they're not really subjective.
But doesn't say, and you can't be subjective.
Right, it's very objective.
So it has to be objective and provide, or that in accordance with the new amendment, that is 17th Amendment, that the governor did not appoint this person or so forth. Right. Now, in this situation, Roland Burroughs, who was 70-some-odd years old, meets the age qualification. He's lived all his life in Illinois. He meets that qualification. And he lives in Illinois.
Right.
That's to say, he's been a citizen all of his life, and he lives in Illinois at the time.
Right.
And the government has appointed him. On what ground can they turn him down? The Constitution, I've re-examined it several times just to find
you
don't have to be literate, you don't have to be intelligent, you don't have to be decent.
You don't have to vote.
you actually, you know, you might be impeached for reasons in other parts of the Constitution that say that a person can't be guilty of high crimes and misdemeanors and be impeachable. But
well, there's no indication that Mr. Burris has ever done anything wrong.
That's right. Okay. There's no indication he's done anything right.
That's
there's
right.
no indication that he's done anything. That's the whole situation.
Well, it's not much
he
different.
He hasn't done anything.
It's not much different in New York with Caroline Kennedy.
That's right. It's not. But after all, this is Illinois. You don't have to do anything.
That's right.
The only thing you have to do in Illinois is steal.
That's right.
You have to pay to play. So
you
anyhow,
have to pay to play. Exactly.
People
right.
are begging Blagojevich to resign, which he doesn't want to do. And I don't
Jesus,
think
the money's good. The
well,
money's good. The car he gets to drive
well,
is nice. Why
that.
Would you quit?
And the fact is, he hasn't really committed the crime yet. He threatened to. I mean, he hasn't stolen anything yet.
Right.
Because they tapped his phones, and he's being investigated from other things, which he might get caught with. But
right.
insofar as selling the Senate seat, even though he wanted to sell it, he didn't sell it.
All
and
right.
it was not up for sale. He withdrew it from the market when they found out. That he was doing this. So he said, all right, I'm not going to sell it. Just
right.
for that, I'm going to give it to my friend,
Roland
Burris.
Who has no relation to Plexico.
An empty cab pulled up one day, and Roland Burris got out. So I don't know who he is. He was the attorney general there. He ran.
He was the attorney general?
Yes, he is or was the attorney general.
Well, he's at least an attorney then.
What does that mean? What does that mean?
He went to law school.
So what?
All right. Okay. Well, let's change cases.
Voted 1.2 million people went to law school.
That's right. It doesn't mean anything.
And the other thing before we change cases is that I want to say this.
Please.
Is that this is in the great tradition of Illinois politics.
Okay.
So there we go.
Why should anything change?
Nothing.
All right. Remember, our new president talked nothing about anything but change.
Right.
And we're getting more of the same. Uh-huh. Anyway. Okay. Well, listen, our president is making a change. He's has accepted Bill Richardson's appointment withdrawal because he is for the Secretary of Commerce because he's got a little something's
little
going on.
Little investigation going on down there.
Good old Bill Richardson.
In New Mexico.
Yeah, underneath that little scrubby beard, there's something going on.
They were doing a Mexican hat dance because under the hat was payola.
Oh.
Any rate, what the thing is here, Bill Richardson, who seems to be a pretty intelligent, very intelligent guy, and he's been an ambassador to the UN. And
he's been a governor.
In Clinton's cabinet and everything. He's been and he is the governor of New Mexico. But however, he was the guy that also said that you don't have to be perfect. He doesn't want blow-dried candidates with perfection. However,
he
could
needs a little product.
He could have been blown a little
up.
Drier, I guess, on this one.
Oh,
so he's a little damp. But they don't know. This is all alleged. He says that
it's alleged, but he's withdrawn.
Well, he's withdrawn because, and I can understand, he doesn't want to hold up. The process will be terrifically, and it'll hold up a Secretary of the Commerce. And in these times
commerce
of economic
will just
distress,
shut down.
Well, we don't have much commerce. That's what
we're going to say.
But
they won't miss him.
But the reason is that he did not want to hold up the ongoing progress of the new administration. And I think in that respect, he's correct. And I don't. I honestly do not draw any conclusion concerning whether he had anything to do with what's going on.
Right.
What the accusation is. Is that CDR Financial Products, a California company, had contributed to Governor Bill Richardson's Political Action Committee, and whoops, it earned a $1.5 million state contract. Oops.
Oh.
So that's a little Illinois-ish, but however, it's a little New York-ish too.
Okay.
So, anyway, he denies any wrongdoing, and that may be absolutely true. I mean, he may not have done a darn thing, but once you get into this thing, you have to be. For instance, Bob Schieffer, who interviewed him, said that there's something that we don't know yet. The fact that Bill Richardson suddenly asked that his name be withdrawn, there's something coming down the road that he's going to have to deal with.
Mm-hmm.
And that could be, that's an assumption, but it could be true, it could be untrue. He had been under investigation. The funny part of it is, like everything else, nobody does anything about it. He's been under investigation, the president-elect took a chance.
Right.
The question is, why did Obama's vetters, those who vet, ask enough questions? And did Richardson give the right answer? I mean,
well, at this point, he's pulled his name out.
Well, he has,
and that's that. And if anything comes up, of course, our crack team will be following it.
Yeah, I think I have a lot of respect for you. I think he's a pretty good guy, and it's unfortunate that these things happen.
Well,
but nobody is excused from getting into this. You know, this,
right,
we're living in a culture of corruption, and things are being tolerated that shouldn't be tolerated.
Well,
because. A lot of lawyers are involved in these things.
Well,
we're going to get to that in a little bit.
Well, let's talk about this because this is a very interesting one. The lobbyist who was accused of having an affair with John McCain, if you remember that, she has sued the New York Times.
I think, look, let me tell you something. I can't think of anything I'd rather do than sue the New York Times.
Don't they get sued a lot?
Well, they do because they take a lot of chances. And newspapers are corrected. Corrected?
Corrected.
Protected.
Protected.
Protected. You see, my partner is holding up fingers telling me we only have so much time. And I got, this will be a long answer, so if we run out of time, I can continue afterwards.
Hold on.
But he's always jerking around with his fingers.
Let me get my sleeping bag.
And I'd like him, right. Why don't you take a nap and I'll give an answer here that they can understand.
Wake me up when it's over.
Right.
How do they do, I mean.
Because this is a very important thing.
It is.
It's very, to me, it's extremely important that everybody, even public officials, are entitled to be protected from lies and bad things like that. Now, this all started with the New York Times, with its big mouth.
Right.
You, the New York Times. The New York Times, our national newspaper, which is going broke like all the other newspapers.
Not fast enough.
And the family, the Salzburg family that owns it, doesn't want to get off the board. They don't know how to run. They may know how to run a newspaper. Don't know how to run a business.
Right.
They're losing money, and it is a good newspaper insofar as I get it, and I read it. I don't agree with it. I don't disagree with it. I think they're way overboard on stuff, and I do think they do editorialize in the news. But however, I'm getting off the point.
Well, the point there is it's a very well and widely read paper. And when they say something like this, accusing you of having an affair and it's not true,
well,
there should be some recourse.
Well, there is, you got to understand something. The recourse to a newspaper, they're allowed to print stuff even if it's not true, if they kind of think it's true, and I'll explain that.
I'll explain it.
Here's what it is. The old law of libel and slander, which this is, defamation, used to be and is, when it comes to regular people, not newspapers and not public officials and anything like that, the law is that if you intentionally, even not so intentionally, if you lie about a person, don't tell them the truth, you spread false information about them, you can be sued. If it's written, it's libel. If it's oral, it's slander. Now, back in 1964, there was a case involving the New York Times. And also, it involved the coach of the Alabama, their athletic department.
Okay.
And his name was Sullivan. And the case of the New York Times against Sullivan went to the
United States
Supreme Court. And they changed the meaning of defamation. They changed the meaning of malice. And they said that a newspaper, when it writes about a public official, then they have to act with what they call actual or constitutional malice. That means not just ill will. You can have ill will, but you have to either knowingly, falsely report the news. That is to say, you have knowledge of the falsity or the probable falsity, and you go ahead and print it anyway, or you have a reckless disregard for the truth or falsity. Now,
okay,
we're going to take a break now. Because
let's take a little
bit of I'll get into this regarding
this
because this is a new thing.
Yeah, but here's
and
what
people I say that this is an unfair thing. I think Sullivan against the Times or Times against Sullivan, depending which court you're in, stinks. I think it's one of the worst decisions.
I agree with you because it leaves the paper open to
well, they say we tried. We tried hard. Oh, come on. It's like the guy
before
didn't.
Before you say something like this, you better have a general idea it really happened.
Well, Yeah. Well, go ahead.
Buddy. And because you know those things can be very embarrassing. Remember the time they accused us of having toupees?
That's right.
That was terrible. People were pulling our hair for weeks.
That's right.
Reckless.
And my toupee came right off. That was the funny part of it.
Reckless endangerment.
My God.
All right. Before you get reckless or endangered, when become an endangered species, take a short intermission, grab yourself a cold drink, a sandwich, whatever you need to relax, because you're listening to Lawyers Who Needs Them live right here on TalkZone.com.